Hello, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Uma Dere Swarmi. Today, I'm taking you back not to a specific year, but to nine of them, when Malaysia's biggest sports star, Nicole David, dominated the world of squash. She was a world number one for a record-breaking 108 consecutive months. Imagine you want to be the best in your sport. You work so hard, you finally achieve your dream and reach that top spot. But what if it's an anti-climax?
It was actually a big struggle straight after that when I figured out that now what, you know, what do I do next and what are the things that I have to add on to being a world champion or be number one? Do I need to change myself? I was struggling to find my grounds on how to be at the top.
That's Nicole David. She became world number one in squash when she was 23. When she started playing in 1987, the squash rackets were bigger than she was.
It all started when my dad's friend invited my sisters to have lessons at the squash club. But I was actually too young at 4 years old. But when I watched my sisters play, I wanted to get on court straight away and I convinced my dad to get me a racket. He managed to get an old wooden racket cut into half and made me a mini squash racket to then start some lessons with them when I was five.
It wasn't a huge surprise that Nicole enjoyed it. Sporting success was in her genes.
We are all a sports family. My dad was a national footballer, the goalkeeper for Malaysia. Both my sisters played volleyball. Obviously, the competitive side, more so on my end because I carried on playing the sport as a career. I just fell in love with it straight away. I was dreaming about squash every morning and I was thinking about it. Squash really took me through a journey of improvement and also starting to beat my sisters and other people in the state, even the boys as well. So that was a big encouragement on my side and a motivation for me to see how far I could go.
And if you've never been on a squash court, here's what you can expect.
It's like a room and we only play against a front wall. But with squash, it's quite unique that we can use the side walls and the back wall to bring your shot to the front. And then if you are, when for professional squash players, we actually look like we are in an aquarium. So it's like a glass box and we're hitting against a glass front wall. So it is a little bit echoey, but it also feels great that you're like in a gladiator ring. People outside can see in this glass box. A great atmosphere, a great experience.
And what's the aim of the game?
We call it physical chess. So the idea is to get the control in the center of the court and making sure that your opponent works extra hard to go all corners of the squash court. So you are placing the ball in the right spaces so that you're making them harder to reach.
And it didn't take too long for Nicole to start having early success, breaking records along the way.
Obviously, I was aspiring to be like how my dad was in sport, and also my sisters were setting the tone of, you know, you can get far in the state and also in the country, so why not try and do that as well? And when I was 14, I won my first Asian title. In a senior level, there were women that were two heads taller than me, double my age. And that really set a strong belief in myself that I could push and do better for myself. The next year, I won my first world junior title at 15. And I think when I figured out that I could win a world title, and that was the first world championship title for a female athlete in Malaysia that has ever had. So I was very thrilled of that achievement. But it also gave me that thought that, you know what, if I can do this in a junior level, why not in the big ranks?
Nicole turned professional in 2000 and won title after title. But it wasn't until January 2006 when Nicole won the World Open for the first time and became the world number one.
It was a strange feeling getting my dreams all coming together in that one moment at 22 years old. When you have worked so hard to achieve that, it just felt surreal. I was just in the clouds on that day itself, having reached that moment of my life that I dreamed of for so long.
And that strange feeling Nicole described translated as a loss in form. She started losing.
after 6 months or so, or 8 months down the line, I was losing tournaments, losing matches, and I was not feeling comfortable at all at that position. I was still figuring out what to do. My coach, Liz Irving, she was a true mentor, and she told me that you've done all this best by being you, and you work so hard. Now we have to just regroup, put new goals, and set new targets for yourself each year so that we can have a plan towards it. And that gave me a bit more perspective on my next goal. I can reach bigger goals and bigger heights. I think that was the big turning point for me to be the best that I can be. So now why not push it further?
As soon as she started looking at her game in a different way and reset her goals, Nicole carried on with her winning ways. To be honest, it would use up all the rest of the time in this episode to tell you every match and title she won and every record she broke. So trust me, she won it all. Again and again. Years literally passed by with Nicole maintaining her grip on the game and being number one in the world. 9 years, to be precise.
I didn't pay attention to how long it was. It just came as a realization when people around me were telling me that I broke the record of being 9 years at number one. And I was like, really? And 9 years flew by, even though it was a struggle. It was pressure, expectations all over. And yet I just kept on coming back, finding ways to break through. Even through the ups and downs, I still could come round and be at number one still. So I never expected myself to sustain that long.
Do you ever think about your rivals during that 9 years? Who did you keep at number two for all that time? Did you ever think about what it must be like for them always coming second place?
I had rivals that were pushing me at every finals. So in the beginning of my career, I had a player called Natalie Grinham and her sister, Rachel Grinham. Natalie was pushing me every finals and always at number two. But they spurred me on to do better. And the next group round was Laura Massaro and also Jenny Duncan from England. And they were the two and three that was always at my toes, definitely true competitors. Those are the few players that really, really pushed me to be the best version of myself. Everybody is trying to change their game to try and beat me. So I am very grateful that I had all those rivals to make me a better squash player.
But every good thing has to come to an end. And with Nicole, it became obvious that she couldn't keep up the level needed to stay world number one.
I couldn't sustain that intensity or that mental ability to hold off everybody else. And at the same time, just didn't have that itch or that hunger to win as much as I did in those 9 years.
She didn't play as well, and she had to make a life-changing decision.
Then when it came to like 2017 in the US Open, I didn't do so well. My coach Liz actually asked me the question, do you still want to play squash? And I kind of broke down and decided, you know, I have to make changes because I really don't see myself playing for another 5 years. And that was kind of a relief to know that, yeah, I gave it all and I'm admitting to myself now that I'm ready to move forward for my next phase of my life.
Eight-time world champion Nicole David retired from squash in 2019. She co-founded the Nicole David Organisation, which aims to empower children through sport and education. She was speaking to me, Umadori Swamy, for this edition of the Sporting Witness podcast.